Do not forget the occurrence of death, the moment of the occurrence of death. It could happen at any moment. It is Kerm Maimon Adidin. And then that moment comes Maimon Adidin. So this is probably a fairly yeshivishly appropriate to do before Rosh Hashanah. Right? That in general we sort of shy away from thinking about the idea of death. It's fairly scary. There's a Zohar that says a person walks through this world and thinks it'll be his forever. So Reb Chaim Levenstein in one place writes that people sort of have the attitude that, you know, that there's different, you know, like, you know, there's certain clubs, you know, I don't belong to this country club. There's, you know, there's the Hevra who does this, and the Hevra which is that. Something called the Hevra Starvers. The club of people who dies. I didn't buy membership in that club. I'm part of that club. I'm not going to die. You know? Like, that's our attitude. Right? So Rabbi Avigdor Miller Zatzal says, you know, this is right up his alley, you know. So he says that if you want to understand the challenge of the Doris from Adam until Noah, says we don't know what it means to live to be 950 years old. I happen to be, I'm a procrastinator. I work on it. I'm not perfect, but I procrastinate. You know, so I'll take care of it next week. Imagine, I guess I'll take care of it 500 years from now. Like, you know, like, you ever want to motivate to do anything? Like, when you get anything done? You know, yeah, you know, I'm living, you know, I'm only 150. Like, you know, I got 800 years to live still, you know. I'll get to it later. Now, the Bershom gave the Arichas Yamim. You're starting from a world which is empty. You need time to create, to build, to develop. It needs work, right? So a person needs time to develop things and work things out. And, you know, try this, doesn't work, try that. You know, a person dies in the middle of the project, it's hard. So the person says, oh, I'll give you a Rikas Yom, you'll be able to build the things up. What happened was that they created a reality where nobody took things really fully seriously because there's always time. So after the Armabel, Russian made life much shorter. So a person says, I have 70 years still, I have 80 years still, I have 50 years still, I have 30 years still, I have 20 years still, I have 10 years still, you know. Right? First of all, you don't know how long you have. The person never knows. But why is it important to think about it? So there's a fascinating air is probably the most valuable thing we have in the world, right? In the sense of that thing, you know, time is a concept. Of the various different commodities that exist in the world, air is the most important. Most people never think about air because air is always available. When you think about air, when a person is going deep sea diving, he goes under the water with a tank. And he realizes, he looks at the gauge on the tank. There's only 3 minutes left of oxygen left. And he's 6 minutes from the surface. That's when he starts thinking about the issue that he needs air. Because it's an unlimited supply, he doesn't think about it. Even though it's the most important thing that exists. Time is the most important thing which exists in our life. Because as long as it's unlimited, we don't value life. When it's limited, you say, well, I have a limited amount of time. I want to value what I have. The purpose of thinking about Yom HaMavis is not to become depressed. The purpose of thinking about Yom HaMavis is that generates an appreciation of what you have. And obviously, if a person thinks that, you know, that this limit is not, you know, the limit is 20 years from now or 10 years from now, which is also something, you know, I only have 10 more years to live. The doctor tells him only 10 more years to live. He's going to focus on doing using the 10 years as best as he could. He only has a year to live, right? He's not going to waste his time. He wants to try to use the year as whatever his definition of good is, right? His definition of good might be, you know, vacationing all over the world. Whatever his definition is, he's going to use that time well, right? A person who understands there's a value to life will say, okay, I'll use it to, true value to life is I'll use it to do chesed, use it to do toiv, right? Because I only have a very limited amount of time left. Problem is, I don't have plenty of time, you know, I have so much time. So he says, no, but that's not true. A person never knows when that moment is. So appreciate what you have, the life that you have. She one time said over her gifter. I don't remember who he said it from. Maybe from the Chofetz Chaim. This is from the Chofetz Chaim. He says, when a person is learning, a person should have three things in mind. He should have in mind, today's the last day of his life. He won't get a chance to learn tomorrow. There's only one blot in Shas, is the blot in front of me right now, so I don't have to worry about the rest of Shas. I just have to worry about this blot. And I'm the only person in the world who's learning right now. So I have full responsibility for the whole world of my learning. He says, if you take those three things, he says, you'll stay very focused in your learning. You can see that, right? That'd be pretty intense focus. I'm not necessarily recommending it. It'd be a little bit overwhelming for most of us. But the other, she said, hey, that's how he would think when he learned. That's what he would focus on. You know? This is it. There's no other plot and chance. I just have to figure this out. Well, there's so much more to do. No. I have to figure this out. I have to figure out all the shots. I have to worry about this moment. This line of Gemara. Once this is done, I thought, you know, that's it. That's all there is to do is this line. All right? But it was a way to bring home that what you're doing is so precious. It's so valuable. You're the only person doing it. It's your last chance to do it. And this is all that you have to do is this. It brings it home, the value of what we're doing. We don't value the value of what we're doing enough. If we would understand that life is very limited, it'd be very helpful. Now, the problem is, okay, life is very limited. So what do you do with your life if it's very limited? So the guy says, that's all he has a year to live. He says, you know, I want to go visit Alaska, I want to go visit this, I want to do this, you know. I have a list of, you know, they call it the bucket list, I think they call it. Here has their bucket list, the things that they want to accomplish in their lifetime, you know. Places they want to visit, and the experiences they want to experience. He wants to experience deep sea diving in Tahiti, and you know, like really, you know. So the rush, but he's combined what I did. The purpose isn't just Chaperein. The purpose is to Chaperein in a valuable way. Well, if you remember Maimon Adin, so Rosh Hashanah asked you, what did you do with your life? So I said, well, you know, I have a limited time left to figure out what I'm going to do with my life.
What happened here?
And I'm going to have to answer to Kadosh Baruch Hu, to myself, what did I do with that precious gift called life that the Rosh Hashanah gave? Did I use it as best as I could? Did I capitalize on the opportunities which exist? The combination makes a person very happy. A person who feels that they're accomplishing, a person who feels that they're using their time well, that person will be very happy. So, Rabbi Yehuda Miller Zatzal says a story. He once went to a chasna, and they asked him to speak something. You know, in Toronto, to this day, there's always a drasha by the chasnas. You know, I grew up in Tells, there wasn't drasha during the chasna, but once in a while they had drasha by the chasna. But by Kibbutz Ponim, the chasna actually said Torah. They didn't sing it down. And all the Rishivas would stand there and they'd listen. They'd listen, sit there and listen. It was really geschmack. So, he said, well, they almost asked to speak at the chasna. He got up and he spoke about Yemen Mavis by the chasna. So they were a little bit upset at him, and after they got a batzel, came up and says, Rabbi Miller made everybody sad. Now I'm going to make them happy. And he told some silly jokes. He said, I don't want this. It's Gemara and Brachos. They asked, the more in the Tafalama, they asked him to sing with us. And he sang, Vayelon demisno, Vayelon demisno. Whoa, we're going to die. That's what they say with the Gemara. That's Gemara Brachos. So what do you want from me? It's another Gemara Brachos. The Gemara said, that's what they did. That's what the Gemara was saying by the Gemara. So what are they saying? They're saying that appreciate the value of life. So the Gemara actually uses the chas as a moshel for life. The Gemara in Erevin, the Gemara says that Rishmul told us that Rav Yehuda Shinano, he used to call him Shinano, but he's the sharp one. The Shinano is Arlo Zedek Behimul Adami. This world is like a chasna hole. It's like a chasna. Chatoy fachol chatoy fishna. You have to chop a ride and eat, chop a ride and drink. You know, tomorrow there's not going to be any food out. All the good food, all the good drinks will be gone. You got to chop a ride now. This world is like a chasna. You have to chop a ride. So it's a beautiful. It gives value. Value makes a person happy, not sad. One last thought is there's a wild medrash. Rabbi Yehman Zilber has this aura of the medrash. I don't think he has it over here. I think he has it in a different place. The medrash says that cholais yibgerecha levonim shem al roshcha al yechsor. Okay. That a person should always have his clothing should be clean. The bottom is white and clean. And he should always be have his perfumed oils on ready. So the Medrash. Right? What's that? That's referring to Yom HaMos. Right? A person never knows what they're going to leave. So always to be ready that if they leave, they're going to come out looking clean. Tshuva, Ma'asim Tovim, etc. Mos shows at the Medrash to a woman whose husband was a sailor. And as a sailor, he goes off long trips, and you know, and she waited for months. Every day she would get up dressed beautifully, and she put on her perfume, etc. They asked her, "What are you doing?" So she said, "Maybe he'll have very quick winds, and he'll come home, and I want him to walk into the house and see me looking beautiful." That's the Medrash says. So at the Medrash, that's Pshat in the bus. So Chazal's marshal to explain a Jew awaiting the Yom HaMavis is a woman awaiting her long-lost husband. That's Chazal's Moshul. Now, if we would be asked to pick a Moshul to describe how to think about Yom HaMavis, we would not describe a woman awaiting her long-lost husband. Chazal used that. That's the neshama. We are neshamas. The neshama is awaiting the opportunity to go back to its creator. It's a very precious moment. It's a very special moment. But you want to be ready for it. You want to do it right. That's how Chazal looked at it. So it's not something which necessarily is to be seen as something which is sad. I think it's Araba. It's part of our society. Our society is only thinking about it. So we've lost a touch of how to think about it properly, the right way, where that adds value and adds sympathy to a person's life. It creates a awareness of this world is not the focus, and one day we will connect to Kadosh Baruch Hu, and that's a beautiful thing. And I want to be ready. I want to be as happy as possible. You know, when I go, I want to be as ready and as happy as possible.